Good morning. The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verses 10 to 18. And Pastor Graham is speaking on the unseen war. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and stand with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen.
Okay. Yeah, see, I'm holding it here because I thought that was going to happen. It's great having the Catalyst young people in, isn't it? And then when they leave, we're no better off because none of you would ever sit this close anyway. So, there's a story that's 28 centuries old. It's a story told by Homer. It's called the Iliad, the story of the Trojan War, the Achaeans versus the Trojans, and centered around Helen and her kidnapping. And it's a legendary story. It's a mythical story. It's fantasy mixed with some historical fact. How much historical fact, we're not even sure. But as legend has it, there was a hero of the story named Achilles. And when Achilles was born, the legend is that his mother prayed to the gods that he could become this mighty warrior, and she was instructed to go and dip him in the river Styx, which was the mythical river that divided the land of the living from the land of the dead. And so she did. And the promise was that no weapon would ever be able to pierce his skin if she did that. And eventually he did become that great and mighty warrior, and this is where Homer tells about his exploits. And he killed Hector, who was the champion of Troy. But there was a reality, there was something going on unbeknownst to perhaps even Achilles himself, that when he was dipped, his mother held him by his heels, and so his heels didn't actually get covered in the water. And the gods tipped Paris off to this, and Paris, the brother of Hector, when he pulled back his bow, he shot Achilles and hit him in the heel, and it was a fatal wound. It killed him. And this is a story, it's 28 centuries old. And there's a moral to it. There's a moral that actually applies to us today. And this is what these legends, these myths often did. They had some kind of moral. And what it was trying to tell us is that you're only as strong as your weakest point. You're only as strong as your weakest point. Here was Achilles who seemed invincible, but he had a weakness. And that weakness, that one point, we even today have we talk about our Achilles tendon, or we have it as a figure of speech, your Achilles heel, your one weakness. You're only as strong as your weakest point. Now let me go out on a limb here and make a statement that you're here because you want to grow spiritually. I'm assuming that. I may also let you know God wants you to grow spiritually. So you want to grow, God wants you to grow. Do you realize you're only as strong as your weakest point? There could be one area of your life that could actually be your undoing. Well, there could be just one area of your character, and that could bring your whole spiritual well-being into ruin. Destroy your life. It's a little daunting to think about it that way. So how can we remain strong? How can we remain strong in the Lord? How can we keep going forward spiritually and in all ways, not just in some ways, but in all ways? How can we stand firm? What's the text I want us to look at today? This is what Paul asked. It's not my question. When I asked the question, how can we be strong in the Lord? That was what Paul wrote to the Ephesian believers. He's come to the end of this letter. The believers at Ephesus are going to be reading this. They're going to be circulating it. And it's interesting that the stamp that Paul leaves upon his readers, he closes with this idea of talking about spiritual warfare, of talking about what's going on spiritually. And he says, stand strong in the Lord. How do we do that? You and me. There's three things that Paul introduces in these first couple of verses that are what I would call spiritual realities. They're realities. They're truths. Whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not, or aware of it, they are truths. It's just like gravity is a reality. Do you realize that the rate of which this earth is spinning, it's spinning so quickly that if it weren't for gravity, we'd be hurled off this rock into space. Now, how often do you sit there and think about the fact that, wow, isn't it great that we have gravity? It's just a reality. Whether you realize it or not, it's there. You may not even believe in gravity. It believes in you. It's what's holding you here. I'm going to look at three realities that Paul points out in leading us to think about how do we stand strong in the Lord. The first one comes in verse 12. Look with me. Verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6. It says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Did you see that first point where it says, our struggle, yours and mine. Our struggle. We're in the midst of a struggle. The word that Paul uses there is a word for struggle. It's to wrestle. Hand-to-hand combat, grappling with someone, one-on-one. Now, I did a little bit of wrestling when I was in school. I hated it. It demanded so much from you, you know, to get on those wrestling mats. My adrenaline would get pumping so much that afterward I would literally throw up. But you knew you had been in a fight. You were in a struggle. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Spiritually, there's that kind of struggle going on. It's a battle for your soul. It's a battle for your spiritual well-being. Many of you have taken the step this past couple weeks. You filled out this booklet to look at disciplines that you want to apply to your life. You're putting your hand up and you're saying, I want to grow in Jesus Christ. I don't want to just remain stagnant. I want to go forward. Guess what? In doing that, you have now entered into a struggle. Whether you realize it or not. Do you understand that when you're just going down the river and you're just letting the current take you, you have no idea how strong that river is. You have no idea of the strength of a river until you start trying to swim against the flow. There's some of you here and you're thinking, I don't sense there's much of a struggle. Maybe it's because you're just drifting with the flow. You start to take a stand and you make an intention to say, Lord, I want to grow in you. I don't want to just stay where I am. I want to move forward. All of a sudden, you are now moving against the flow. Now you realize there's a struggle. Remember the story that Stuart Briscoe told when he was here? He talked about growing up in England, in the UK, at a time when there was a war going on, World War II, and he lived near a port, and they were famous for shipbuilding. And you think, oh my word, what a horrible place to live, because the Nazis would have been bombing that regularly. He said, actually, it was really quiet. It was quite placid. There was hardly any problems at all. Because when the ships are being built, they didn't care. He said, you know what happened, though? Once those ships, those battleships were completed and they were getting ready to launch, that's when it heated up. That's when the bombings came. And here's the point he made. The enemy doesn't care about you until you become a threat. So for many of you, you've put your hand up and you're saying, I want to go forward. Lord, I don't want to stay the same. I want to move forward in Christ. You become a threat to forces of darkness. There's now a struggle. It's going to be very real. There's two forms of attack that take place. One is temptation, and the other is spiritual opposition. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the difference between the two, because over the next couple weeks we're going to continue to go through this passage and we'll be able to talk about it even more. But I'm reminded of the words of the 20th century Christian writer and speaker A.W. Tozer, who in the leaflet, in the inset of his Bible on the leaflet, he had written these words: anyone or anything that keeps me from this book is my enemy. See, he understood there's a struggle going on. He understood that there were forces that were trying to separate him from the living God, separate him from the Word of God. He understood that. Do you? So you make a commitment and you say, I want to spend regular time in prayer. I want to spend regular time in God's Word. Do you understand there are forces that will work against you to do that? They don't want that happening. Do you understand that there's going to be forces that will want to separate you from this place? I don't need to worship. I worship on my own. There'll be forces at work to separate you from the people here. I've got all the friends I need. I don't need any more friends. I'm just going to come here and go. I'm really not going to be connected to anybody. We need godly friends. You see, there's a struggle. There are forces at work to separate us from the things that God would bring into our life to bring grace and to grow us. Do you realize that? Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. That's our struggle. You and I, we're on a battlefield. And it's a struggle for the well-being of our souls. So firstly, we're told that the first reality is that there's a struggle that we're engaged in. The second reality that Paul points out here is he says we have an adversary. Some people think of evil as just kind of this notion that's just floating out there, just this concept, this idea. Do you realize that in the Lord's Prayer coming out of Matthew 6, where the famous quote where it says, "Deliver us from evil," actually a better rendering of that in the Greek would be, "Deliver us from the evil one." You see, there is actually, evil is embodied in a person. It's not just some concept out there. There's an evil one. The Bible says we have an adversary. Look at what it says here. Verse 11, "Put on the full armor of God that you may stand against the devil's schemes." Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And guess what? He has forces at his disposal to do his bidding. We have an adversary. That's a reality. Now, some of you may be thinking, "Graham, what did I ever do to Satan? What does he have against me? Why is he out to get me? What have I done to him?" It's a good question. First thing you have to understand is, humanity was placed in the garden to resolve the conflict between God and Lucifer. See, there was this cosmic conflict between God and Satan. And very quickly, the Bible points out that that conflict is going to be resolved in the lives of human beings. This is why Satan comes and he tempts Adam and Eve. And this is what we now see being played out in history, even today. God and the evil one. And the battle is the battle for the hearts and minds of men and women. Which side are you going to be on? See, Satan, the evil one, he's out to win you over. And God's trying to win you over. We're the battleground. Secondly, the Bible talks about the fall that took place in Genesis 3. Right in the very beginning, Genesis 1, it tells us we were created in the image of God. We're created in the likeness of God. And here's this interesting thing. As we've talked about, you know, as we've talked about what does it mean to follow Jesus with a whole heart, we're talking about this idea that God wants us to become more like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of His Son, to become more Christ-like. So on the one hand, God wants us to become more like Jesus. Just what the evil one wants. He wants to take the image of God in us and distort it, to twist it, and to mar it. He wants us to look less like Jesus. Less like God. Less righteous. And so now you've got God who's trying to do one thing to make us more like Jesus, and we've got an adversary who's trying to make us less like Christ. To reflect less of God's likeness, less of His glory. That's what Satan has against you. Look at what it says in verse 13. This is interesting because for some of you, you may have never seen this before. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." What does that mean? When the day of evil comes. You ever thought about that? What is the day of evil? Is it coming? Coming for me? Coming for you? I think of Mel Gibson. When he ventured into this project to make the film The Passion of the Christ, he came up against all sorts of opposition. All the major studios said, "We're not going to back you." No one would give him money for this project. He had to put up his own money. There was all sorts of slander and stuff, and even while he was making it, he was being personally attacked. I remember seeing interviews where they were saying, "Well, Mel, how do you respond to this?" And he said, "How can I respond? I have a Savior who's told me I need to bless those who curse me. I need to forgive. So what else can I do? I'm choosing to forgive. The movie came out, was powerful, not only made tons of money, it had an impact spiritually. So we see where the opposition was coming from. They didn't want that movie made. People talking about the death of Christ. The evil one does not want that happening. Yet in August 2006, while Mel's working on another movie, he goes to a bar, he goes to a pub, and he goes there alone. Point number one, completely unaccountable. Who's watching his back? No one. Unaccountable. Drinks too much, carouses with young women, pictures are taken of him, you know, kind of flirting with these young chickies. Gets in the car, goes home drunk, he gets stopped by officers, he's driving under the influence. He abuses these officers and says some very hateful things and speaks, you know, uses some hate language against Jews. And all of a sudden, the next day, there it is. Yeah, we knew it. Mel Gibson's just unhinged. He's a nut. You know, all he's trying to do is just attack the Jews. He's just a Jew basher. That's all he's really about. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to cut the legs out from underneath what he's trying to do. They're trying to say, this is rubbish. He's just some weird individual. And here in this one instance, in less than a day, his reputation, his integrity, his testimony, it's all shattered. You see, the day of evil visited him. The day of evil paid a visit. And he wasn't ready. You see, that's what it's saying. We not only have an adversary, but our adversary may come and unhinge us. And just like that, in one day, your reputation, your testimony, your family, it can all be wiped out. Left undone. Think about it this way. Either you are working towards protecting yourself, or you are working towards becoming a spiritual casualty. Peter says, Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He devoured Mel on August 1st, 2006. What are you doing to protect yourself? We have an adversary who wants to destroy you, who wants to destroy your testimony, who wants to destroy your family, wants to destroy your reputation. And you're either working to protect yourself or you're working on becoming the next spiritual casualty. The third reality. We have a struggle. We have an adversary. We have authority in Christ. Paul wants us to know that even with this adversary and his forces, we're not unarmed. We're not defenseless. And he's going to talk about the armor of God. And he's going to say, put on the whole armor, the full armor. So you're not exposed in any one area. We're going to spend the next couple of weeks looking at what is that full armor? What does that look like? What does that mean to you and me? And we're going to talk about that. We don't have time this morning to get into it. But the key is in the authority in Christ. The authority we have in Christ. You know that just a typical average person could be walking the streets. They go home and they put on this uniform, don this uniform that says that they are a police officer. And all of a sudden, they now have authority. They themselves haven't changed, but they have this authority. They can go and they can walk into traffic and put their hand up and say, stop. Even though the car or the truck is more powerful than them, and our adversary has power, there is authority, and that authority says, stop. We have authority in Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Do you understand that? The interesting thing, 4 times in this passage it says stand. Stand, stand, stand. Take your stand. Hold your ground. Resist the evil one. I wanted to read just a quote about this. Listen to what this says. It says, exercising demons and binding and rebuking Satan are just a few of the things Christ has not ordered us to do. Did you hear that? We're not ordered to do these things. Christ has not ordered us because these are offensive maneuvers. We have not been ordered to go on the offensive against Satan. Rather, our one main standing order is to stand, is to resist. The word resist is a military term. It often is used in ancient times to refer to military sentries who were given an important post to guard. It was their job to guard that post to make sure the enemy didn't infiltrate. This is the assignment that we as Christians have been given. All of us have been assigned a spiritual post. Did you know that? The spiritual turf certainly includes your own life. It may also involve protecting those in your church, in your school, in your family. The point is this. We have been called to defend what Christ has already won. Do you understand that? The reason we're called to stand is because Jesus Christ won the victory. He's already taken the ground. And all we have to do is hold that ground in the authority of Jesus Christ. In His name. Tony Evans writes this, Jesus has already invaded Satan's domain and won back all the territory that Adam lost. So our job is to hold the ground Jesus won. Remember that we are fighting not for victory, but we are fighting from victory. Victory in Jesus. That's why it says stand, stand, stand. Christ has won the victory. And in His authority, we hold the ground. Now, in verse 11, it tells us that Satan has schemes. Methodia. That's the word for schemes in Greek. Methodia. Methods. Satan has a plan. He's got strategies. He's thinking of intelligent ways to unhinge you and to unsettle you. Satan, your adversary, has a plan. Here's my question to you. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? How to move forward spiritually? How to stay strong? Because here's what we're told. Your enemy has a plan to undo your life. Do you have a plan? One of the things that Satan likes to do is he likes to convince us that he still has authority in our life. Even in Jesus Christ. Somehow to deceive us, make us think that he can still speak into our life. This is how some of the self-talk can go. What a failure I am. What a disgusting piece of humanity. What a phony. What a pitiful excuse for a Christian. Who do I think I am anyways? I should have known from the beginning I couldn't make it as a moral success. I was a fool to even try. I'm a failure. The Christian life may work for others, but it won't work for me. I'm just flawed. I give up. I should stop trying to even fake it. Just go back to the old life where I belong. You ever thought thoughts like that? You see, that's the evil one using his lies. If we believe this, the father of lies has us right where he wants us, defeated, convinced. God doesn't love us. We're all alone. We're defenseless. We're helpless. So the evil one wants you to believe. You know what the Word of God says? If anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things become new. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Satan, or are you going to believe the Word of God? The Word of God tells us there's nothing. There's neither height nor depth, nor principalities or powers. Talking about spiritual forces now. That's what he's talking about in that passage. He says there's nothing, not even these spiritual forces, that can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Who are you going to believe? Who are you listening to? There was a Western that I watched years ago. And the beginning of the film, there's a con man comes to town. He's got a rattlesnake in a jar, and he goes into the saloon and he sets up his little shop. He's going to make a little bit of money. He finds out who's the toughest hombre there in the saloon, who's the guy who's fearless and wouldn't back down. Once he's established that, he's got this guy in a corner. And then he brings out this jar and he says, here's a $20 gold piece, and he puts it on the counter and he says, $20 says you, Mr. Fearless, cannot put your hand and leave it there against that glass without flinching. Well, now this guy can't back down because he'd, you know, be embarrassed by everybody. So he has to take the bet. So he walks up there, and here's this glass. It's got this rattlesnake. And as he starts to get closer, that rattle starts to move. And the snake is poised. And even though he's in this jar, the guy starts to put his hand close. And as he puts his hand up there against that glass and he presses it against the glass, that snake launches out, hits that glass, and strikes it. And his reflex is to flinch. So that's actually a picture of what our spiritual battle is like. Satan has venom. He has power to destroy. But Jesus Christ is the glass. As long as you're on this side of the glass, there is nothing the evil one can do to hurt you. As long as you're on the right side of the glass, as long as you understand the power and the authority that you have in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we get scared, and sometimes we flinch, or sometimes we listen to the deception, we listen to the father of lies. The truth is, can't hurt you, but you give him power. I'll never change. I just like to gossip. I can't tell the truth. I'm just a hot-blooded male. I have to look at other women. I can't help myself. You're listening to the father of lies. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Who are you going to trust? We have a struggle. We have an adversary. We have authority in Christ. In Jesus Christ, we're a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things become new.
We praise God. Would you bow your heads with me? As your heads are bowed, many of you have undertaken in the last couple weeks, you've committed to say, Lord, I want to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to set aside time to spend in your Word, to spend praying. I want to be connected in community. I want to be praying for friends that still far from you, Lord. I want to be here with your people. I want to be serving. I want to be accountable, Lord. You've entered into spiritual warfare because you are a threat to our adversary who desperately wants to keep us away from God. If you're here this morning and you're recognizing that you are in a battle, you're saying, I want to be equipped. I want to claim the authority that is in Jesus Christ. I want to move forward in my life. I want to win this battle in the name of Jesus. Just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. Just slip your hand up now. Yes. Yes. Over here, many of you. Yes. Those at the back. Yes. God bless you. Yes. Here. Yes, the back. We have a struggle. We have an adversary. We have authority in Christ. Lord, I want to thank you for these your people. Putting their hand up and saying, Father, we know there's a struggle, but we have the victory in Christ. Grant us, Lord, your strength and your power to overcome the evil one, to resist him, draw near to the Lord. Father, that we could follow you with a whole heart, become more and more like Jesus. This is our prayer. Hear our prayer, O Lord. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.